Right. Well, we started a new series last week, and actually this year, this whole year, we're going to be taking a look together at the practices of Jesus. And we're going to cover a lot this year, but the goal, my hope at the end of this year is that we would be able to implement more practices into our lives that make us more and more like Jesus. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we should probably practice, right? And try and become like Jesus. And that's the goal for this year, is to look at practices and implement them. So that being said, we're in the middle of a four-week series on Sabbath. So last week we learned what Sabbath was, right? It's a stop, it's a break, it's a rest. It is quitting what we're doing. And then we looked at Sabbath through the lens of it being an invitation. So specifically, we looked at five invitations of the Sabbath through Jesus in Matthew 11. Those were an invitation to Jesus, right? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, an invitation to rest, and I will give you rest. And then an invitation to learn, take my yoke upon you. It's easy and light. And then we get an invitation to the heart of God, for my heart is humble and gentle. And then the last was an invitation to practice Sabbath. And he goes right into a Sabbath story in everyday life. And so these five invitations is what we looked at last week. This week, we're going to look at Sabbath as rhythm. Sabbath as rhythm. Where are my routine people at? Anybody? A few of us. All right. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. How many of you have an everyday routine that you stick with? And if you don't, it just feels off. Your day is pretty well ruined. Okay. Yep. So some of us are like that. Maybe it's not even like a day routine, but it could be a morning routine, or maybe it's an evening routine. But if that doesn't happen, then the day is off. Anybody relate to that? Okay, good. And it's okay. It's good. It's good to have a routine. I think you routine people are going to like this message. I think the biggest thing about Sabbath as rhythm is that it is freedom. Sabbath as rhythm is freedom, but it's freedom in a routine, if that makes sense. So we'll get into that. We live in a very hurried culture. People are exhausted. People sleep 4 hours less per night than what we did 100 years ago. Do you realize that? Within 100 years, we've lost 4 hours of sleep per night. In our culture, productivity is a badge of honor. It's something that we wear, that we talk about, that we brag about. If you don't believe me, what question gets asked anytime you meet a new person within a few minutes? What do you do, right? That's a productivity question. I think for the most part, we're pretty disciplined as a people. We get up when the alarm goes off. We go to work. We accomplish what we need to accomplish when, during the day. Some of you are whispering. Maybe we don't get up when the alarm goes off. Maybe not. But I think if it's something we want to do, we're pretty disciplined about it. So I'm not sure that more discipline or more productivity is what we really need, but maybe a new rhythm around it. See, productivity is good. God wants us to make things and create things and labor and be productive. God loves hard work, but he also wants us to rest and delight as well. And that's what the Sabbath is inviting us into. It's a new rhythm to live out. It's a rhythm that's consistent with God's idea for his world. It's a rhythm that's consistent with creation. And so that's where we're going to start this morning. Our first stop is Sabbath is rhythm, not rule. So we're going to be in the Old Testament today, the whole time, starting with the same scripture we started with last week, kind of defining Sabbath. This way, we're really digging into this first one from Genesis. It says this. This is Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. So what does this passage tell us about the Sabbath? What does this passage tell us about the Sabbath? Well, first, it tells us that God rested from work. This means that rest is woven into the creation of our world. Now, this isn't the only example of rest that we see in creation, right? Nature has seasons. They have seasons of production and seasons of dormancy. Trees produce and then they rest. Fields produce and then they rest. We see that all around right now. What are they doing right now? Resting, right? Because it's cold. It's a season of dormancy. We see rest all throughout creation. And when we don't rest, we fight the rhythm of creation. Now, second, and this is the interesting part, it tells us that Sabbath exists before sin. Sabbath exists before the law or even the people of Israel. It's part of the fabric of creation. So this means that Sabbath isn't God's response to a broken world. Sabbath isn't God's response to sin that entered the world. This isn't a situation where God creates humans and then we get all obsessed with productivity and we work ourselves to death and then God has to step in and say, okay, it's time to take a break. In other words, Sabbath isn't a response to our behavior. Sabbath is a part of God's original creation. This is what God had in mind all along, before sin, before death, before God's good world was in need of restoration. So Sabbath was a part of that original creation. Now, our Bible study group on Wednesday night learned this already, but there was this study done on Christians that found that those who practiced Sabbath over a lifetime lived on average 11 years longer than those who didn't. 11 years. Isn't that crazy? So Sabbath is a life-giving rhythm that God has built in for us, and it's for our good. So think about how the calendar is set up. Sunday starts a new week, right? This is intentionally set up with the rhythm of Sabbath in mind. This is so we can live as people who work from rest or work out of our rest instead of rest from our work. Does that make sense? Am I saying that right? Okay. So we can work, we can start the week from being rested. When we live in a rhythm of Sabbath, our whole week is balanced because it starts with rest. So we have to be a people that live in this rhythm that God's laid out for us. The Sabbath is about trusting God with the rhythm of our lives. When we do this, we start to really appreciate the resting time. And then it starts to feel like any other part of our routine. This is what our routine people like, right? Once we get in that routine of Sabbath, then when we don't, our whole week feels off. It feels, ugh, right? Think of it like this. How many of you read music? Anybody take some band class when they were younger? Okay, cool. I tried. I was in band. Oh, this is a long story. I probably don't need to tell it. I can't read music, but I was in band. I faked it for a long time. I took music theory, trying to like bump my grade average up, and ended up getting a C minus. So I still can't read music. But I know this about it. I know that there are notes and there are rests. And if you remove the rest, the song just becomes constant noise. You see, the rests don't interrupt the music. They make the music possible. So in the same way, the Sabbath isn't an interruption of our life. It's actually part of the composition of life. God built rest into the rhythm of creation itself. And when we remove it, life becomes chaotic and really noisy. So the Sabbath is woven into creation, and it's God's plan for us to live in the rhythm of His creation. So how do we learn how to do that? Well, it's also Sabbath. It's kind of a trick question. But Sabbath is also training that forms us. All right, so in Exodus 16, that's where we're headed next. We're not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to let you kind of know what's happening here. So in Exodus chapter 16, we're dropped right into the middle of this story about the people of God or the Israelites. They start with Abraham. Remember Abraham, father Abraham, many sons. One of those sons was Joseph. Now, the Israelites end up in Egypt because Joseph had some really terrible brothers. If you don't know that story, just go read it. It's crazy. The Israelites end up in Egypt because Joseph rises to power and they start to prosper. Well, then the Pharaoh that really likes Joseph, he dies, a new one comes into power. That one enslaves all the Israelites. So God then frees the Israelites from slavery in Egypt through this really impressive series of plagues, and then famously parts of the Red Sea, and they escape out of Egypt. And so chapter 16 picks up when they've been out of Egypt and they've been wandering around in the wilderness for about 2 months. This is where they start to complain and they start to gripe, and they even start to wish that they'd lived their days out in Egypt, because at least there was good food. They had meat in Egypt and we had homes to live in. So they're starting to fear that they're going to starve to death. Now maybe you can relate to this, probably not the starving to death part, but maybe God has done a huge work in your life and now a few months have passed and you're not living in that spiritual high anymore. That's where the Israelites are. The memory of God saving them is kind of starting to be overridden by their hunger and their thirst. And now all they can think about is having some food. So God says to Moses, tell the people that I'm going to make bread rain down from heaven. And when I do this, people are to go out and they're to gather food, but only what they need for one day. And I'm going to test them and see if they follow my instructions. And then he says, on the sixth day, have them gather double. This is so they don't have to gather on the Sabbath. And God says, then at twilight, or at the end of the day, I'm going to send meat. And in the morning, I'm going to send bread, but only enough for the day. So then that night, quail covers the camp. And then in the morning, bread called manna covered the camp like dew. So everyone goes out and they gather what they need, and some gathered more than they needed, of course, right? Because God said not to, so they went and did it. They gather more than they need, and the stuff that they had saved back, by morning, it was full of maggots. It was rotten. It was disgusting. So then in verse 21, something really cool happens, and it's about the Sabbath. So we'll read 21 through 30 together. This is Exodus chapter 16, 21 through 30. It said, each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. An omer is about 3 pounds, which, in studying this week, that means they're eating 3 pounds of bread per person a day, which is wild, right? Bread doesn't weigh a whole lot. There's a lot of, anyway, there were no keto or carnivore dieters then, I think. That is just a lot of bread. Anyway, all right, back to verse 22. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath day to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it till morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. All right. So what does this story tell us about the Sabbath? Well, first, it tells us that we should be trusting God for provision. Right? God will provide. He's been doing it for millennia, thousands of years before us, and he will continue to provide well beyond us. So when we trust God with the Sabbath, it allows us to let go of control. Imagine living with a fridge that only restocks once a day, and it restocks just what you need, just for that one day. No bulk buying, no Sam's Club or Costco, no stockpiling. Every morning, just enough food for that day. That's what Israel was experiencing with this quail and manna. Some tried to store extra just in case, and it rotted overnight. This wasn't God trying to be harsh or cruel. Remember where these people had just spent the last 400 years or so. He was retraining this traumatized group of people who had lived under slavery and scarcity. You see, Sabbath confronts our pantry mentality. It confronts our need to overproduce or overplan or overcontrol. Resting one day a week trains us to believe that God will provide tomorrow what we need tomorrow. Now, the second thing it tells us is this. When we practice Sabbath, we start to train our brains to be free from scarcity thinking, and then that leads to less anxiety. Now, I'm as bad as anyone when it comes to stockpiling stuff or to that get while the getting's good mentality. Anybody else? Just, hey, these are on sale. I'm going to buy 100 of them, you know, that kind of a thing. I'm the worst about that. But here, we see this example of people hoarding up supplies and them just going bad. Now, the beauty of Sabbath is that we don't have to worry about the what ifs, right? God has us covered, and the Sabbath allows us to trust in that. Now, third, it tells us that we're free to release control. We're free to release control. Think about how much you're responsible for in a week. Wouldn't it feel good to just kind of let go of all that for a day? Just, whew, it almost makes you kind of drop your shoulders thinking about it, doesn't it? Freedom is often peddled a little differently in our country. I'm free because I'm independent. I'm free because I'm in control of my life and my choices, and it's my freedom to do what I want to do. Now, the Sabbath tells us that true freedom is just letting go of control. You see, Sabbath exposes our addictions to control. It exposes our addictions to productivity and security and having enough and being enough and doing enough. You cannot Sabbath without trusting that God will take care of what you let go of. So, we've looked at Sabbath as a rhythm of creation, and now we've looked at Sabbath as a rhythm of training for our brains and our bodies to trust God. But Sabbath is also a covenant, which brings us to our last stop for the day. Sabbath is a covenant rhythm. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. This should be a familiar passage to you. Starting in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So, if you grew up in church, you probably learned this scripture early on in life. You probably also know that this is a part of the what? Oh, come on. Yeah, the Ten Commandments, right? Now, we skip ahead in the story that we just started back in Exodus 16, right? 4 chapters ahead. This is when God starts to give the law to Moses, because clearly people aren't getting it just off of him suggesting things, right? So he gives the law to Moses, and he does this so that the people of Israel can live as a people in good relationship to God. Well, this happens to be the longest of those Ten Commandments by far. He says other things like don't kill and don't steal and don't lie, or you should honor your parents. It's short and to the point. The Sabbath commandment, however, it extends to children and servants and foreigners and even to livestock. Sabbath is a large part of God's covenant with the people of Israel. Now remember, Sabbath is rooted in creation, right? It's a part of the rhythm of the universe, and it exists outside of sin and outside of the law. But here, we see God using Sabbath to redeem a people. You see, Israel had just been freed from slavery, and in Egypt, they had no days off. Right? They worked 7 days a week as slaves for 430 years without a day off. God is using the Sabbath as part of a covenant to change the identity of his people. In this sense, the Sabbath says we are no longer slaves. Our value is no longer in our output, or our value is no longer in our productivity or what we're worth to someone else. This covenant or this commandment is an incredible act of love by God. He says, not only are you no longer slaves, but I love you enough to mandate rest for you. I'm commanding that you stop and rest and delight and worship. What a cool thought. Now, for us, obviously, we are under a bit newer covenant, right? Jesus came and fulfilled the old one. But this passage that we're reading, this was a kickback against the culture of Pharaoh. When we Sabbath, right, that's what they were doing when they Sabbath. When we Sabbath, we are claiming freedom from our culture of busyness. We're claiming that God has set us free from all that stuff that weighs us down, and we don't have to continue to live in it. And I think that when we do take Sabbath and we find it doesn't just rest us or doesn't just give us a break from productivity, but it actually increases productivity. So in the Industrial Revolution, factory owners, they often required workers, even children, to work 7 days a week. And then we have these things come out that are labor laws, right? Children can no longer be stuffed into factories. And then they mandate a day off. Now, productivity doesn't collapse when they do this. In fact, in many cases, at many of these factories, productivity improved. It rose. Rest didn't weaken the system. It just humanized it, right? We're not machines. We aren't meant to just run nonstop all the time. Sabbath does the same thing for us. In Egypt, Israel has no day off. Pharaoh never says, take a break. God is saying, you are no longer a slave. Every time we Sabbath, it's this quiet protest against a culture that measures our worth by productivity. It is a weekly declaration of freedom. And Sabbath isn't about legalism. It's not about following the rules or blind obedience. It's about alignment with the way that God created us to live. So Sabbath is a rhythm that re-centers our focus to God as creator and to God as provider and God as redeemer. And we've seen evidence of all three of those this morning, God creating and providing and redeeming and doing it all through the Sabbath. It's a really cool thought that God loves us enough to bring about creation and provision and redemption and then having the Sabbath woven in to all of that. But beyond that, Sabbath is something that we as a people desperately need. Think of it like this. I'll use another phone analogy. I think I used a phone analogy last week. When your phone battery is critically low, right? It comes up, it says you're at whatever percent and you hit low power mode and then that makes it last a little longer, right? And then you check and see and it says, hey, I'm at 2%, right? You might need to find a charger. You wouldn't look at it and say, nah, I don't think so, right? No, you're not. You wouldn't argue with your phone. You either plug it in or it dies, right? You stop using it because you trust that charging it will restore its power. See, Sabbath isn't quitting life. It's plugging back into the source of life. Ignoring it doesn't make you stronger. It makes you empty and weak. So Sabbath is about becoming the kind of people who are alive and present and free. And so I want to invite you into that freedom today. I want you to choose a 24-hour period this week. Take time to rest your body. Take time to delight in God by doing something you enjoy. Eat a meal with people. Rest your souls by turning off your screens and observe God's creation. Even if you hear that and say, 24 hours, are you kidding me? Start small. Maybe you can Sabbath for 3 hours. Maybe you can Sabbath for 8. It's okay to start imperfectly as long as we're starting intentionally. So, the question today is not, can I afford to stop and take a break and take Sabbath? The question is, can I afford not to? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for this rest that is woven into creation. And God, thank you for such a gift. Not only did you create rest and weave it into our lives, but you also use such a gift of rest to help train us. to free us from responsibility and control and anxiety and whatever else weighs us down. And God, thank you for using rest to redeem us. The older I get, the more I appreciate rest. It's truly a gift from you. So God, as we move forward in this week, help us. Help us to take out a chunk of time. If it's 24 hours, great. If we can't stand the thought of 30 minutes without our phone, without distractions, without working, God, take that away from us. Help us. Help us to stop and rest and delight and worship this week. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us enough to give us a break. Help us to take it this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you in any way, the goal is to follow Jesus more closely. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today's a great day to do it. Would you stand and sing?